In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing Louisa. She finds peace in everything in the most holy divine will. And we are on page 2, at the top of the page, third paragraph, volume 2, 9/19/1999. If faith is the king, charity is the queen, and hope is like the peacemaking mother who pacifies everything. And that's what a mother does. A mother is, when the family's upset, the mother is the heart of the family. And she brings peace. How often does a mother say, everything's going to be okay? You know, she soothes the difficulties with her peace, the peace that's within her heart. And that's the thing that's so important. Jesus says, if faith is the king, charity is the queen, and hope is Christian, hope is certitude. We are certain that God is going to take care of every situation. God loves us very, very much. And he needs us to trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, have confidence in him. And hope is like the peacemaking mother who pacifies everything. You know, a little baby, you know, or a little child gets hurt. And the mother says, let me kiss your boo-boo. You know, let me kiss it. And it brings peace to the child. The child knows that everything's going to be okay. In fact, Jesus says, with faith and charity, there may be disturbance, but hope, this Christian certitude, being the bond of peace, converts everything into peace. Again, that's what a good mother does. A good mother brings peace to the family. And, I mean, it could be a heartbreaking situation, but she brings the peace of Christ in each family. She, like the Blessed Mother, she learns from the Blessed Mother how to be peaceful, how to be joyful, how to be happy even in difficult situations. That's how Louisa lived. Louisa learned from Jesus and Mary how to give her fiat, the fiat of our Blessed Mother, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say, and the fiat that Jesus gives to the Father, not my will but your will be done. So hope is support. Hope is refreshment. And when the soul, rising by means of faith, sees the beauty, the sanctity, and the love with which she is loved by God, and feels drawn to love him, but in seeing her insufficiency, how little she does for God, and how she should love him but does not, she feels discomforted, disturbed, and almost does not dare to draw near God. Immediately, this peacemaking mother comes out, this hope comes out, and placing herself between faith and charity, she begins to perform her office of peacemaker. See, in our journey on earth, you know, we're here to know, love, and serve God, and now with the divine will, to know, love, and possess God. And again, when we rise by means of faith, seeing the divine beauty, divine sanctity, the divine love with which we are loved by God, and we feel drawn to love God. I mean, we know we should spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We know we should be praying. We know we should be reading, especially the Book of Heaven. And because of our insufficiency, because of our humanness, we fail. And again, the first thing that happens when a vocation is lost, it happens because prayer has stopped. There's no prayer. And without prayer, without that communion with God every day, morning, noon, and evening, more than food, this is what causes a good and holy vocation to just disintegrate, just to dissolve. So what Jesus is showing us is hope, support, hope's refreshment, as we continue to pray, as we continue to read and study and put into practice this great gift of the divine will, we recognize how much God loves us, how we must love him because he's God Almighty. He deserves all the love that we can give. He is the Holy One. He is our King, our Master, our God, our Savior, our Lord. And we get distracted. We find other things to love, things of earth to love. And as it says here, you begin to feel your insufficiency and how little you do for God, and how we should love God but do not, and therefore you feel discomforted, you feel disturbed, and a lot of times this guilt because of falling brings us to the sacrament of confession, where God not only forgives our sins but he forgets them. At that point, we are full of grace, and we are rejoicing because just before that we did not even dare draw near God. And again, Jesus says this peacemaking mother, this hope comes out and places herself between faith and charity. This peacemaking mother begins to perform her office of peacemaker. How great our God is. Faith, hope, and love. With this faith that we have, this fullness of faith found in the church, we fall deeper and deeper in love. And there will come a time when people will say this is all delusional. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just your way of living, so you don't have to be bothered by the truth. And that's all the lie of Lucifer. We have the full deposit of faith. And no matter what anybody says, no matter who says anything against the church, against Christ, we know that that is true. We know that this is what God has given to us, and how happy we are that the Lord has given us the blessed opportunity to be baptized Catholics, the blessed opportunity to receive the sacraments and sacramentals, and now the blessed opportunity, the crowning of God's church, this great gift of the divine will. So she says, Jesus says that the soul, this hope, this peace, this hope makes the soul peaceful again. This hope pushes the soul. This hope raises the soul. This hope gives her new strength, the soul new strength, and carries her before the King of Faith and the Queen of Charity. This is the Holy Spirit working. She excuses the soul. She places new effusions of her merits before the soul. She prays them to receive the soul. And this is a glimpse of this great outpouring of love that is going to happen, in the new era. When the divine will reigns, we will be so blessed that no matter where we are, if we really want God, if we really turn to God, great things are in store for us. Great things are in store for us. So the Lord looks at us and he says, are you willing? Are you ready to begin to live a new life? Remember Pope St. John Paul II, you know, and the canonization of St. Anna de Francia. What does he say? He says, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. This new era that's coming, it's filled with hope, filled with Christian hope, which is certitude. We are confident in God, trusting in God, believing in God. And this, as he says, hope makes the soul peaceful again. This hope pushes the soul again, raises the soul again, gives the soul new divine strengths, carries the soul before the king of the king faith and the queen charity, and excuses the soul. She places new effusions of her merits before the soul. She prays them to receive the soul. This is all going to happen in our lifetime. And it's better for us to begin to live this now. Now, don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer. It's a read, study, put this into practice. Let Jesus teach you. Let Jesus guide you to what he has planned. And what he has planned is to be in his image and likeness, to return back to the womb of the Father from which we began. This is how God, when he breathed into the dust, his desire was for Adam and his children. And Adam fell, and we were then had that falling as well with the original sin. Jesus comes to earth, Mary comes to earth to redeem us, and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. And now 2,000 years later, we have this newborn, Luisa Picaretta. We have this newborn, Luisa Picaretta. How glorious is this? She has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary within her. And God says to us, do you want this way of living? Or do you want to continue to live in your human misery? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. This is the divine will. As you read, you are happy. As you study, there's nothing as beautiful as this. Our Lord loves us so much that he has predestined us to live at this time. And then what does he say to Luisa? He says, you, Luisa, are I place the destiny of the world in you, Luisa. So the more that we go to Luisa, the more we read, study, and put this into practice, the happier we're going to be. We continue, and faith and charity with our gaze fixed only on this peacemaking mother, hope, so tender and compassionate, receive the soul, and God forms the delight of the soul, and the soul the delight of God. You see, this mutual possession of God, we possess God and God possesses us. He wants us to what? Form in us the delight, form us to be his delight, form in us that he be our delight. We are to be one with God, fused with God in his most holy divine will. So the Lord looks at us and he says, I've got great, great plans. We've begun Lent, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. This is a glorious time. More grace comes to us during this Lenten season where we mortify ourselves. You know, we don't hurt ourselves. We give up certain things. We have a hunger. Not just for food, but for God. And a lot of times when we're full, we don't think of anything else. But when there's a hunger, there's always a desire for God. And this is why the Lord loves the poor. So he asks us to fast like the poor, how they eat. How do the poor eat? When you really think about it. It's not just to eat bread, you know, but it's to eat. How much bread does the poor have? They eat a little bit throughout the whole day. It's what they can find to eat. And so Jesus says, through the church, I want you to remember what my children are going through. I want you to pray for them, those that are hungry, those that don't have food. See, there's no reason for anyone on earth not to have food. There's plenty of food. There's plenty of food out there. I have a hard time going to restaurants, watching all that food being thrown out. You know, the garbage cans are filled with food that no one wants. We really have to remember our poor brothers and sisters. And again, there's no reason why anybody should be hungry. This is why, again, as Catholics, we go out to help the poor. It's our duty. Jesus was poor. He was born in a stable. Joseph and Mary were poor. They had no place to stay. And our job is to try to help those around us. And when this happens, how glorious, how happy we are, how happy God is. Oh, holy hope, how admirable you are. Here's Louisa now speaking. Oh, holy hope, how admirable you are. Christian hope, without you, we would be filled with sorrow, filled with sadness. I imagine seeing the soul who is possessed by this beautiful hope, like a noble wayfarer who walks in order to go and take possession of a land and shall make his whole, where he shall make his whole fortune. This wayfarer is where, what God is showing us. We're going to go home. We're going to go to be where we were created to be. That's paradise, that's Eden. If we look at this place as our home, we have nothing to hope for. But when our hope is heaven, when our hope is paradise, when our hope is Eden, what happens? You really begin to enter into it now. It's not after you die. It's to begin to enter this paradise now. So that's why Jesus, read volume 26, the beginning, no, excuse me, volume 26, the very first day. He says to Louisa, your garden outside is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's not as beautiful, it doesn't have any flowers, and yet it's a simile. And Jesus says, I want you to begin to dream of entering back into the kingdom. And it doesn't take long. She's there. She goes back to the garden. And again, it's not a pious thought. It's a reality that occurs. And it's a new way of praying the rounds. So this is why the rounds are so important. That's the way Adam prayed before the fall. That's the way Jesus and Mary prayed while they were on earth. What, looking at every I love you that's out there. And returning those divine I love yous back to God. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you, God, for all the I love yous. And I want to give back to you this I love you, that the way Jesus did, the way Mary did, the way Adam did before the fall, not in a human way, but you, Jesus, you know, praise the Father, in, with, through, and for me. And in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as of all mankind, was praising the Father, glorifying the Father with your praise, with your glory, Jesus. You see why this possession is so important. To be one with Christ, fused with Christ. But since he is unknown and he journeys through lands that are not his, some deride him, some insult him, some strip him of his clothes, some reach the point of beating him and even threatening to kill him. And the noble wayfarer, what does he do in all these trials? Shall he be disturbed? Ah, no, never. On the contrary, he shall deride all those to do this, to all this to him. Excuse me. He shall deride those who do all this to him. See, you're not going to be loved by humanity. Jesus says this to Louisa. He says, one day they'll call you a saint, the next day they'll call you a demon. The one who you love, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one that you love, the Blessed Mother, all that is of heaven, is where your hope is. It doesn't matter if people spit at you or deride you or degrade you, slander you. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are one with God and God is one with you. This is so beautiful to recognize what God is doing for us, is such peace, joy, and happiness that no one can take that away from you. No one can disturb you. That's why it says, shall that soul be disturbed? No, never, never disturbed. It's all fiat. Jesus shows us this, with his, in the 24 hours of the Passion. He shows us very clearly. This was the will of the Father, that either he died or we all died. And the Blessed Mother concurred with the Father. Son, I want you dead. I want you dead, crucified. She says, who shall he be disturbed? No, never. On the contrary, he shall deride those who do all this to him, and knowing with certainty that the more he suffers, the more he shall be honored and glorified when he comes to take possession of his land, and he himself teases the people into tormenting them even more. That's our Savior. That's our King. He is the King of the earth. Get to know him. Spend time with him. Especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Look at Jesus in the monstrance. Fall in love with him. He is always tranquil. He enjoys the most perfect peace. And what is more, while in the midst of these insults, he remains so calm that while the others are all alert around him, he keeps sleeping in the bosom of his longed-for God. That's where we have to be. That's what hope brings us. It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what they say about your family. It doesn't matter what they say about your team. I see people screaming. Sports are a riot. They fight at home as if they were actually going to war. No, you have to be peaceful. Jesus says, when peace is not there, he says, I am not there. He wants us to turn back to him. He wants us to, no matter what you go through, to be peaceful. And that's where we learn the fiat. We learn how to say fiat to God in all situations. It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what they say about your family or your team. It doesn't matter. Everything must be peace. Everything must be order. Must be tranquil amid all the insults. You have to enjoy perfect peace. Perfect peace, order, and being tranquil. God loves us very much. And he says, if you're one with me, watch what I will do. If you're not with me, watch where you're going to go. I only want to be with Jesus. You know, he's my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. He's my all. And no matter what we have to go through, it's always fiat. If this is what you want, I want this, Lord. If this is what you plan for me, I want this, Lord. I don't want to do anything separate from you. I don't want to do anything in any way, shape, or form that you don't want me to do. I want only what you want me to do. And you don't have to look for anything. You don't have to want anything. It's just to be with Jesus. Knowing that he's going to take care of you. Knowing that he's your Savior, your Master, your King. All the things that we go through, we have to be peaceful, tranquil, and that's what God is waiting for. Perfect peace. Being calm. But being so calm that we can fall asleep in the bosom of our longed-for God. We long for him. I had one girl in the prayer group once said, you sound like Jesus is going to come back tomorrow. You always sound like he's going to come back tomorrow. I'm going, that's right. It says, Jesus says, I am coming back for all those who are longing for me. It's got to be a constant longing. I remember I was in the seminary, 14 years old, and a friend of mine, the very first month I was in the seminary, and he came up to me and he said, Jesus is coming back. And I went, where is he? I thought he's in the tabernacle. Where is he? And he goes, no, Jesus is coming back. I said, what do you mean he's coming back? He's going to return as King, as Lord, as Savior. I went, holy moly, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. Longing for God should be daily. Longing to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament should be the pitter-patter of our heart. Longing for God is why we're here. And Jesus says to Louisa, nobody thanks me. Nobody longs for me. And we have to be the ones with Louisa, through the Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to long for Jesus. Every day, looking for Jesus. Every day. This is what God, and again, that's what we're saying. That's where we said, right at the beginning. Hope is refreshment, hope is support. The soul rising by means of faith begins to see the divine beauty. Begins to see the divine sanctity. Begins to see the divine love with which the soul is loved by God. And then feels drawn to love God. That's what you get when you read the Book of Heaven. You become so focused on one thing and one thing only, God, that you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Who administers so much peace? Who administers so much firmness to this wayfarer in continuing the journey he has undertaken? Certainly hope in the eternal goods that shall be his. Since they are his, he shall surpass everything in order to possess them. And again, that's what we want. We want to possess this gift. We want to possess this gift. We will surpass everything in order to possess this gift of the divine will. We will give up everything in order to possess this gift of the divine will. That's what God is looking for. That's why he said, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to the world. Do you want everyone to possess this? Do you want your family to possess this? They don't want it right now. The world doesn't want it right now. But do you want it for them? Then you have to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's heaven. You have to get rid of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Completely. Completely. It can't be any part of you. So any test that God gives you, you can pass it. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. He's waiting for us to be so ready that he can give it to us. That's what he's waiting for. Now, by thinking that they are his own, he comes to love them. And this is, thinking that the divine will is ours, we begin to love the divine will. And here is how hope gives rise to charity. Then you can love. Then you can love. The whole divine will is based on love. And God is asking us, God is pleading with us, are you willing to begin to live a life of love? Are you willing to begin to live a life of heaven on earth? And when we say yes, then God says, prove it. I want you to prove this to me. Don't just say you want this. Prove it. And that's where the peace, the joy, the happiness comes in. Learning how to say fiat in every situation. Every situation is fiat. Let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to really begin to live this abundant life. How glorious is this? How magnificent is this? Volume 2, 11-14, 1999, excuse me, 1899. Peace, peace, peace. So Our Lady says that in her apparitions. You must begin to live in peace. Peace must begin in you and dwell in your family, then dwell in your parish, then dwell in your nation, and then dwell throughout the whole world. It has to begin within us. Where do we get that peace? Again, it's the fiat. You stub your toe, fiat. You have a ice cream cone, fiat. It's just always thanking God. Thank you, Lord. This is your will. Let it be done as you say. You know, you have to do dishes. You have to sweep the floor. You have to clean the windows. I mean, it's always fiat, fiat, fiat. Lord, let's work together. You and I, let's work together. Let it be done as you wish. You know, to be peaceful is to do what you're called to do. If you have to wash the clothes, so be it. If you have to drive somewhere, so be it. And we have to live that peace, peace, peace. So Jesus says, don't you know that the kingdom of hope is a kingdom of peace, and that the right of this hope is justice? God has everything perfectly ordered, doesn't he? The right of this hope, peace is the kingdom of hope is the kingdom of peace, and the right of this hope is divine justice. When you see my divine justice, when you see my justice arms itself against the people, enter into the kingdom of hope. Investing yourself with the most powerful qualities that hope possesses, that rise up to my throne and do as much as you can to disarm the armed arm. So here Jesus is saying, you have to go back to the most obvious, Sodom and Gomorrah. When God came against Sodom and Gomorrah, that was to God's divine justice. Invest yourself with the most powerful qualities that she possesses. Hope is peace. Okay, we hope that when we have to be punished because of sin, our hope is peace in us. We were peaceful when everything hits. Remember what Jesus said to Louisa, there will be a great chastisement to prepare the world for this gift. He says, this gift of the divine will is so magnificent, so beautiful, so holy, that the world does not deserve it. And so the world must be purified. There will be a great purge. And again, there were three purgings. The first purge was the flood, where the one family got through. The family that had a pure line to Adam and Eve. That was Noah's family. And then the second purge was Jesus coming to earth and washing the world clean, washing all of us clean so that we're no longer slaves to the devil, the evil one. And that was his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. He washed the world with his precious blood. He washed you and me with his precious blood. Call upon the precious blood of Jesus when there's difficulties. Call upon his precious blood. When you have any temptations, call upon the precious blood of Jesus. You know, wash me clean with your precious blood. It's almost instantly you're freed from worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And again, picture yourself being covered with the blood of Christ at the foot of his cross, as Longinus was covered with the blood, as Mary Magdalene was covered with the blood, as Our Lady was covered with the blood, as St. John the Evangelist was covered with the blood. Let his blood fall upon us and upon our children. What a great prayer. What a powerful prayer. And that's what he's saying. He's saying it very, very clearly. He says, the powerful qualities that hope possesses, rise up to my throne and do as much as you can to disarm the justice of God. You're going to see it in your family. And in your family, mock you, ridicule you, annoy you because they don't want God or his church. Jesus says, be filled with hope. Be filled with peace. You know, the anger that they have towards you is really towards God. And you can say to the Lord, I'm really sorry that they're so angry with you through me. I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive them. Lord, have mercy on them. And that's what Jesus said to Louisa. He says, if you do not have the heroic love of Christ crucified, Father, forgive them. You're not even close to living in the divine will. Father, forgive them. Again, they're not angry with you. They're angry with Jesus in you. Comfort Jesus. Don't get angry. Comfort Jesus and say, Jesus, you can save them. You're their Lord, their Savior, their Master, their King, and I surrender them to you. Bring them back to you, Lord. Do what you must so that they're not lost. God says, good. Get out of my way. Trust me. Believe in me. Hope in me. Have confidence in me, Jesus says, and watch what I will do. There's so much that God is going to bring about. When the great miracle happens, hang on to your hats. Hang on to your hats. It's going to be magnificent. For most, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth because they're going to be terrified of how they treated God, how they treated their brothers and sisters. For very few, it will be ecstasy. Now we've got to remember that. It's very few. We're going to be affected. If we have one sliver of the Antichrist within us, it's going to be painful. Very painful. That's just a sliver. It has to be removed. And if it's a deep gash that's been there for many, many years, deep wound that you have never forgiven a soul for, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. If you're perfect, it will be ecstasy. You know, there's not going to be many perfect people. There's not going to be many that are going to rejoice in what's coming. Remember, Jesus says it's a great and horrible, terrible chastisement that has to come upon the earth to free everybody of every thought, every word, every deed. And that's why in the divine will, our job is to repair and redo constantly. That's our job. Repair and redo in the divine will. And we're doing it as we make our rounds every day, as we, especially during Lent, pray the 24 hours of the Passion, as we continue to focus on prayer, fasting, penance, and conversion during these 40 days and 40 nights of Lent. It's great, great, and powerful blessings are coming upon you and your family. And this is such a glorious time that God gives us. This Lenten season is filled with a miraculous blessings for those that want to pray, fast, do penance, and mortify themselves. It's to convert more, to believe in Jesus more than you ever have before, to love Jesus more than you've ever loved him before, to focus on Jesus more than you've ever focused on Jesus before. At Mass today, I told the people, this might be your last Lent. You know, it's, make it the best last Lent you've ever had. I was told that when I got ordained. Make your first Mass and every Mass your last Mass that you'll ever say. And it's true. It's, life is short. And, we're only here for a very, very, very short period of time to what? Get ready for eternity. And remember what Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. A new era is going to begin. As John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness is coming. That's what's coming. A new and divine way of holiness. So what happens here? And you shall do this with the most eloquent, with the most tender, with the most compassionate voices, with the most compelling reasons, with the most heated prayers that hope herself shall dictate to you. You see our hope? You will do this with the most eloquent, most tender, most compassionate voice, with the most compelling reasons, with the most heated prayers that hope herself shall dictate to you. This great gift of the Holy Spirit is going to help you get through everything. But you gotta start now. You can't just wait. Well, when it happens, I'll do it. No. You have to begin now. This is very essential to begin to live the life, the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. You know, that old saying, what would Jesus do? Well, let Jesus do that in you. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. You know, let the Lord reign in you. Begin to use your senses, as Jesus tells Louisa, the way God originally planned. And that was to focus on God, to see God, to smell God, to taste God, to touch God, to hear God. As Catholics, we're beginning this. And that's why it's so necessary. This is who gives the most eloquent, who gives the most tender, who gives the most compassionate voice, who has the most compelling reasons, who has the most heated prayers, but Jesus. He wants to reign in you completely. But when you see that hope herself is about to support certain rites of divine justice that are absolutely necessary, this is when you see somebody in your family that's in the hospital, maybe someone who is very far from God, when you see that hope herself is about to support certain rites of divine justice that are absolutely necessary, and wanting to give them up would be wanting to give an affront to herself that cannot be, then conform to me. This is the fiat. Conform to me. Surrender to divine justice. Fiat. I remember that one priest, a good priest, he went to the house of a woman whose seventh son had died. And she greeted him at the door with, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." It converted that good priest. Jesus says very clearly, comfort to conform to me, Jesus, and surrender to divine justice. This is what we're doing during Lent. We're conforming to Jesus. We're surrendering to his divine justice. Do with me as you wish. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. You're my all. Do with me as you wish. I will not go against anything that you want. When we do this, Scripture says, God gives us His divine mercy. Don't be afraid to do this. God gives us His divine mercy. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.